as a memorial before the Lord continually. So when you enter the holy place, which is the second section there called the holy place. And then there are instructions in God, if you cross-reference to the area of the altar incense. And let's look at Leviticus chapter 16 for that section. Again, the holy place is mentioned several times. It's mentioned in Leviticus 16, verse 16. He shall make atonement for the holy place. And then in verse 33, he shall make atonement for the holy sanctuary. And he shall make atonement for the tabernacle of meeting and for the altar. And so there is a relation to all this area. Now look at verse 4. Verse 3 and 4. Leviticus 16. It says, thus Aaron shall come into the holy place with the blood of a young bull as a sin offering, and of a ram as a burnt offering. He shall put the holy linen, the holy linen tunic, and the linen trousers on his body. Now notice, he even calls his clothing holy, separated unto him. Now here we read about all those things regarding Aaron for a purpose, because what I want you to show you is in the latter part in the book of Leviticus, in the earlier part when he mentioned about the priesthood, God makes certain qualifications and requirements that he wants of the priests. And some of his requirements seems to be, if we can call it, above normal. Chapter 21, Leviticus 21. Now remember, as we read, this is the Old Testament, so there are some things that have been transformed or changed in the New Testament. But we just look at the Old Testament first and draw one principle. Now it says of the priest in verse 1, Leviticus 21 verse 1. And the Lord said to Moses, speak to the priests, the sons of Aaron, and say to them, none shall defile himself for the dead among his people. So if you read from verse 21, verse 1 onwards, right down the line to all the requirements of a priest, you will notice one thing instantly. The requirements to be a priest is higher than the requirements just to be among God's people. God sets a higher standard. And bear in mind that this is Old Testament, because in that place in verse 5, they were required to have beards too, which I am immediately disqualified in verse 5, right? So just to take note that not everything there has been brought into the New Testament. But in the Old Testament, it says, nor shall they shave the edges of their beards, nor make any cuttings in the flesh. So, it's an assumption that they're going to keep beards in those days. And so, you can understand why the beard was a fashion at that time. And there are other requirements that are there. And even in the Old Testament, some prophets have not made those requirements, yet God used them and anointed them. And so you realize that as they progress towards the New Testament, God begins to show them the differentiations between an ordinance and a fulfillment and a principle behind the ordinance. And this is not the only area here. Remember that the showbread was reserved only for the priest to eat. And David, as a king, in a sense, violated it when the high priest gave it to him to eat. And Jesus made note of that situation and said, that's not according to the law. But it is permissible in that situation, showing the New Testament dawning on the Old Testament law. Now, without going too much into it, just remember this. That basically what we've been showing you is that God, even in the Old Covenant, make a difference between levels of holiness or separation. Somehow, when they were expressed out, they became commandments. A set of commandments for the priests, which is higher than the commandments for the normal people. And so sometimes when you talk about holiness, people straight away talk about sinlessness or freedom from sin or the commandments of God or keeping the commandments of God. Because the expression of holiness results in rules and regulations. Some higher standards than others, different standards. But the main principle that we bring forth first, the first quality of holiness, it is in degrees. There's a degree for the priest, there's a degree for the people. And notice that the degree for the priest is because the priest were required to go further in. See, God made the tabernacle, God got Moses to make the tabernacle, and the tabernacle had degrees of holiness. There was the outer court, which is available for all the common people. Then there was the holy place, which was available for the priests. And then there was the most holy place, which was only available for the high priest. And the more they want to come closer to God, because that symbolized the closeness that they draw into God, the more holy they have to be. So those who are only in the outer court, the number of rules is up to A. Then when you go to the holy place for the Levites and the priests, the rules are A plus B. More regulations. Then the high priest wants to go further in. For him, the requirement is higher, and it's A plus B plus C. So these are outward expressions of holiness, because they are entering into a depth of holiness. If there's a most holy, there is an intermediate place called the holy place, and there are degrees of holiness. So if holiness is in degrees, what kind of quality is that? Because we know that being free from sin is being free from sin. Is there such a thing as degrees of freedom from sin? Aha, okay. So there's yes there, there is. And okay, that's a that's coming forth. He calls us priests and kings. That's right. So the most holy is what he's after. Now let's translate that into the New Testament. In the New Testament, all of us are given the ability to be priests and kings. We don't need a human mediator except the Lord Jesus Christ. And in the New Testament, the most holy place has been opened. Remember the veil. Yes.
If we could be totally free, and since sin is the world, that's where we get our bad breath from. So, you would, in essence, everything that is holy is beautiful. So, I would, so we live in decaying bodies, so we're never really completely free.
Okay, now let me go on from there. Now notice that if there are degrees of holiness, and if for the New Testament we can enter into the most holy place, then I turn it around and then bring this back as a question. If holiness is in degrees, then what degree did we have when the Bible says that you have been sanctified in the Lord Jesus Christ? Yes. That's right. So if Jesus has done it, and then if you understand that holiness is in degree, you know what that tells me? That we can progress into deeper holiness. Now if we can progress into holiness, now that's the difference. We have to understand, when we understand the concept of holiness, then we begin to understand God. Now bear in mind that throughout the New Testament, holiness is in degrees. Also in the Old Testament, it has been shown in the Word of God, through His tabernacle and through His teachings in the Bible, that holiness is in degree. If holiness is in degree, and when Jesus grants us holiness and saying that you have been sanctified or made holy in Him, then we will gather that He has given us all the potential to enter into the most holy place. But somehow when He says you are sanctified in Christ, He is like placing us in a position and He leaves us the opportunity to get further into Him. Amen. That sounds like sound doctrine. And here we turn it around and say, then why are not Christians pressing in to a higher degree of holiness? Because our theology has been wrong, we always don't realize that holiness is in degrees. You see, if we say, oh, He has made us holy, by His blood He has washed and cleansed me, and holy is holy, there are no degrees of holiness, then there's nothing more that I need to do and you need to do. Correct. But if holiness is in degree, we are obligated to press further in. And so for too long, we have thought that holiness is just holiness. We don't realize there are degrees of it, and that we could press further in it. And therefore, we neglect the most basic thing that God is trying to tell us when He says, be holy, as I, the Lord your God, am holy. In fact, in the Old Testament, it can be shown that God originally wanted the entire nation to be priests. It is due to their faults and their failures that only one tribe succeeds. He has always wanted all the tribes to be able to approach Him. Then, understanding the first quality of holiness, let's throw in a second quality of holiness. Holiness seems to be imparted rather than acquired. Now it's important to understand it here. Holiness is in degrees, there have us. But if you only have that one definition and you understand it thoroughly, you want more of God, you press more into God. Then we need the second definition or the second quality of holiness, which is holiness is imparted and not acquired. Now, what is the difference? Acquire means that you could get it with whatever strength or ability you have. But imparted means that there is a giver of it. Holiness and sinlessness are not equal qualities. One is a subset of the other. Animals and dogs don't stand in the same equation. Dogs are a subset of the definition animals. It's underneath it. One of the results of holiness is sinlessness, or freedom from sin to different degree. But holiness is more than that. It's more than that. If you were to say, you know, if you're thinking, you say, all dogs are animals, therefore, all animals are dogs. That would be wrong. Your second conclusion is wrong. Your first conclusion is right. But let's say that that was your conclusion. All dogs are animals, therefore all animals are dogs. You put the two as equal. See, be careful in theology where you put the equal sign. If you put the equal sign, you're making it reversible. So if all animals are dogs, then when you go to the farm and you see that funny looking animal that goes moo, what kind of dog is that? That's a moo dog. And then this little creature that jumps all over your chair, sleeps on your bed, and it goes meow. It's a sleepy cat. You say, what kind of animal is that? Oh, that's a meow dog. Wouldn't it be a confusing world? Every animal to you is a dog. There's different types of dog. First of all, you'll be genetically incorrect. And your definition is completely off. So, sinlessness and freedom from sin is a subset of holiness. It is a result, one of the many results of holiness.